From above, lights illuminate a stage. An audience shuffles in their seats. Peacock Original. In cursive white letters, Alyssa Limperis, No Bad Days. Blue lights wash over the stage. Alyssa runs out and waves. She points and smiles.
Thanks for being here. My dad was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer, and then a year later, he passed away, and then the next day, I went to a cafe, and they were all out of oat milk. So it's like, pile it on. Oh, when does it end? And my dad, he went from being the healthiest person I knew to having a terminal diagnosis overnight. And he died of an aggressive form of brain cancer called glioblastoma, which, if you don't know, I'm shocked. Because I tell everyone, okay? I tell every single person I meet. Like, people hate spam callers? Not me, baby. No, if I see an unknown number, I pick up. I'm like, hello. They're like, hi, Miss Limperis. Hi, we regret to inform you that your car warranty has... I'm like... Let me stop you right there. This is a freaky frickin' coincidence because... My dad had a car, and he died of click. You know, I'm the first person to ever get hung up on by a spam caller, you know? I call them back just like, hi, hey there, oh, sorry, I think we got disconnected back there. Anyway, so he died of, and it was aggressive, and they're like, yeah, no, we know, yeah. It was stage four, please, don't call this number again, you know? But I talk about it a lot for a lot of reasons. One, I'm a very emotional person. It took me 4 years to get over my high school boyfriend. High school. Yeah. And he didn't even know we were dating. Okay? Okay, so, yeah, I'm like, I miss you so much, Derek. He's like, I recognize your face. I can't place your name. But also I talk about it a lot because it was an event that really shaped and changed the rest of my life. I was in my early 20s when it happened, and I was just extremely dependent on my parents. You know, I didn't really have an identity outside of them. I went home every weekend. I couldn't make a decision without them. I really needed them. I was the type of kid, for example, who had to get picked up at sleepovers, you know, at 23. Just like, Mom, Dad, get over here. This guy is not the one. I'll tell you more later, but a lot of tongue. Oh, and a little bit of teeth, too. Terrible combo. Oh, come get me. I was living a very, like, young lifestyle when it happened in New York City. Not like young, like, cool, hip, going to the club kind of young, you know? More like young, like, wash my sheets annually kind of young. You know, that was kind of the vibe. You know, more young, like, the fanciest dish I'd ever eaten in New York City was a salmon sushi roll. From Dwayne Reed, okay? Yeah, some people are like, no, they don't sell that. There they do. They should not, but baby, they do. I'll tell you what, I don't remember how it tasted. I remember how it felt. Warm.
She grins.
To further paint the scene, I was living in an apartment with three people I met on Craigslist. One of which had two dogs. And I'll tell you what, he had a very sort of quirky, kind of fun way that he potty trained his dogs, which was that he did not. He did not. No, he opted out of that. Good. So what that meant was that those dogs were free to pee wherever and whenever they wanted within the home. Yeah, that was obviously extremely disgusting. Extremely. But also... a move I did homecoming weekend my junior year in college. Okay? Yeah. Okay. I've been there. I'm like, Fluffy, I do not respect you, but I see you. Okay? I get you. I have been there. And if you're like, oh, no, that can't be real, I have the name and phone number of a very kind gentleman whose rugs or opinion of me will never be the same. Okay? Yeah. No, but I was living in the PP apartment when I got the call. And I remember my mom and dad, they called me and they were on speaker. And there was just like a lot of screaming. I just knew something. It was just immediate. I knew something was very wrong. There was screaming. I couldn't really make out what was happening. But I heard, you know, tumor and come home. And I just hung up and I was in my room and I just sort of, I shrunk down. And I remember thinking, man, I'm going to sit here in my closet. I remember. And I just sat and I thought, this is it. This is the last moment that my life is like this. Because the minute I stand up, I'm entering into a new world. Everything's changed, you know? Because when I got up, my problems just were different. And they became different overnight. All of a sudden, my main problem was that my dad was dying very quickly. The weekend prior, my main problem was, I can't believe Stephanie forgot to invite me to brunch, you know? But no, you go through something like this that's like traumatic, and then you look back at those types of problems, and they're just like so silly and frivolous. And Stephanie, if you're here tonight, I haven't forgotten. Or Stephanie, if you're watching at home, hi, yeah. You thought you were going to avoid me? No, I see you. You forgot to add me to the group chat I was already on? You thought I'd forgotten. I'll never forget the pictures you guys took. Those were beautiful photos. And you posted to Instagram right away. Oh, you forgot. Yeah, okay. No, but the minute I got that call, there was no question in my mind. I was moving home. Immediately, I packed my bags, and I moved home to be with my dad because he was my best friend and my rock. My dad was awesome. He was such a magical, really playful guy. He was like a big kid. He just had so much energy. He was so playful. Like, I feel like in most families, you know, the parents are the ones who have to be like, kids, hey, guys, come on. It's time for bed. Let's go. No, I don't care. No, not one more episode. No, stop. It phone's down. It's time for bed. In my house, it was just like, Dad, please, we can't play another round of Monopoly. We're exhausted. We got the SATs tomorrow. He's like, come on, one more, just one more. Who needs the SATs? Who cares? Most colleges don't even look at that. It's the essay. He didn't care what anyone thought about him, like in a remarkable way. My dad once won a costume contest, and he didn't even know there was one. He did not know. This man showed up to an event in his normal wear, and they were like, that's the craziest thing we've ever seen. But that was him. He was so supportive of me, arguably too supportive. My dad showed up to every single one of my track meets with a matching red sweatsuit and a sign that had a pun on it. In high school, that should have totally embarrassed me, annihilated me, you know? But actually, it didn't. And you know why? Because I had my own tips and tricks for how to get out of that because I was already embarrassing myself. Yes, you can't embarrass me because I'm doing it on my own, Dad. This is unfortunately a true story. This is about my sophomore year in high school. So everyone take a second. You're going, oh, euphoria. Think of like they're in high school. It's kind of that age range. You really kind of picture what they look like. Picture their me. So sophomore year, I walk into the cafeteria. All my friends are at a table, and I go to the table, and I see etched on the table is Nick loves. Now, let me set the scene. Nick was the hottest guy ever. Maybe. Who knows? Do you remember high school? It was like, when a guy looked at me, I was just like, oh, my God. You know? And then you grow older, and literally the perfect person could come. It could be Prince Charming, and he'd leave, and I'd be like to my friends, like, I just feel like his hair was like a little bit, like too blonde. Does that make sense? Just a little bit, you know? But when you're young, you're like, he made eye contact. He is my husband. So that was Nick. I was like, he's my husband. So I walk to the table and I see Nick loves cock. And I just very proudly turned to all my friends and I just said, well, well, well. You ladies can just call me cock. They were like, do you know what cock means? And folks, that is when I learned what cock meant. Yeah, that was the moment. And I'll tell you what, the nickname stuck. The nickname, it stuck. Yeah. My dad was a nut. He was nuts. He had so much energy. And he put all that energy into exercise. My dad ran every single day for 30 years. 30 years, my dad did not miss a day. The only thing I've done every day for 30 years is wake up. And even that, sometimes I've come dangerously close. You know, I'm like, whoa, 18, okay. 18 hours, that is a new record. I miss the sun entirely. Wow, okay. But you know, my dad just, like, he loved exercise. Literally nothing could come between him and exercise. Now, I love exercise, but literally anything could come between me and exercise. I'm talking anything. You know, if I was supposed to go for a jog today and it was drizzling 2 days ago, I'd cancel the jog. I can't. I'd be like, do you remember the rain? Oh, what if the roads could still be slippery. My ankles? No. Uh-uh. They are weak. No, no. I think my dad just had a lot of anxiety, and he just kind of took that anxiety and, you know, he put it into running, which I totally get because I have a lot of anxiety, and I have sort of a different tactic. I sort of take all that anxiety and I just put it into thinking I'm pregnant. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I just sort of shove it into having a pregnancy scare all the time. Oh, yeah, I'm constantly thinking I'm pregnant. People hear that joke, they're like, why aren't you on birth control? I'm like, birth control? Baby, I got an IUD in every hole. Birth control. I've taken Plan B more times than I've had sex, okay? I pop that shit like they're multivitamins, okay? La la la. I'm just like, yeah, I'm like a citronella candle for sperm. You know, it can't come near me. It fears me.
She stares off.
Yet even still, I will be on my period. And I'll be like...
She cups her boobs.
I don't know. I hope it's my period. Could be my period, I hope. Could be the baby with a bloody nose. I hope not. Look. I hope it is my period. I hope. Could be my beautiful baby girl on her period. Okay, yeah, oh yeah, you're like, oh, that's, well, I'll tell, the GMOs, the stuff they're putting in food these days, come on. The apples are too big. And we all know it, Oh, sure, you like a Honeycrisp apple, it's the size of your head. You think our grandparents had those? No, they called Red Delicious, Red Delicious. That was the best they had. Anyway, I think it's because I had like sort of a late introduction to sex. Like, I still remember having the sex talk with my parents. You guys remember that? So awkward. My parents were just like, sweetheart, you're 21. Start having sex, okay? Let's go, put a move on. Let's go, make us proud, okay? No, I'm kidding. I was 22. Yeah. No, but now I've been dating someone for a long time. Yay. We've been dating a while. We were long distance for a bit. And I know what people say, like, you know, people are always like, long distance. Well, you know, I know what they say, but actually, I'll say this. After doing long distance, it actually was pretty bad. Yeah. Not fun. No, not fun at all. Terrible. And I was complaining about it to a friend, and I remember she was just like, well, one perk is you can grow it out down there. I was like, what? Oh, no. Oh, I'm Greek and Italian. It doesn't matter who's in town, okay? I don't call the shots down there, you hear me? That's not my domain, okay? Like, I'm telling you, if I shave and then go to the beach, you better take that picture fast. You better get when the towel goes down, you better be getting that picture. Like, if you take a boomerang of me at the beach, you'll be like, wait, that's, you'll see one side, you go, oh, that's clean. Then you go, wait, what's happening there? There's a little, I think it's a little darker there. What's happening? You know, that's the thing. And I've tried everything, man. I've shaved, I've waxed, I've done laser. It's like trying to unsubscribe from an email list. No matter what I do, it's coming back. Yeah. But anyway, I've been dating my boyfriend for a while, and to sort of spice it up, at a certain point, we were like, let's go to a sex shop. Wow. I have never been more overwhelmed in my life. I walked in. I didn't know what anything was. I felt like I was like, you know, in a museum with cool friends I was trying to impress. You know, kind of just like, oh, that's I know that one. I do, that's the, it goes, no, right, right. Yes, I'm familiar. Yes, I do know. Oh my God. There it is. Hello, the Hitachi. I have heard so many good things about your work. The big one. Cool, very cool. You know, it was just like, it was so intimidating because I walked in being like, I'd like to have a better sexual experience. And then you walk in and they're just like, hi there, would you like to try the detonator? I'm like, oh, I don't think so. They're like, it goes in one hole, comes out the other. I don't think I want that. I want to kind of just walk in and be drawn to an aura, you know? It's sort of like, it's like a little sparkly, and it's like almost like a cloud, you could say. And you just, it's kind of floating, and you go, whoop, and you take it with you. And you take it with you home, and you put it right by your bed. And then when you're having sex, every once in a while it just says, you're doing a great job.
Yeah.
Everything's gonna be okay.
That's what I wanted. They were like, would you like a bag of spikes? It's like, no. Oh, what are we gonna do with that?
So anyway, we found like the closest thing to the cloud, which was just this like tiny little purple thing. Fun. And we use it like during sex, which is great. I recommend it. It's so fun. But my boyfriend kind of likes to like finish the job, so to speak. So meaning, we'll start with the vibrator, you know what I mean? So we'll start with the vibrator, but then at a certain point, my boyfriend kind of likes to, like, baton toss off, you know? Kind of give it a little slap on the butt, like, good work, you know? Your job here's done. I'll take it from here, robot. Which, listen, I get it. I respect it. Sure. For my boyfriend, that's great. For someone like me in that situation.
She nods repeatedly.
Okay, so what that would mean was we were going from automatic to manual. Right? So, yeah, we were going from robot to human. You know, you guys ever been at the airport? Just on one of those moving walkways? Like, okay, great. Okay, perfect. Oh, great. So gate 16, we'll get there just in time. You know, maybe we'll even get a little bit of a snack. And then you step off and you're like, whoa, okay, hold on. Where are my legs? Oh, my God. I don't know where to... Gate 16, yeah. All right, well, we might get there, but we're going to miss the flight. Yeah. Where was I? I lose my... That's right, my dying dad. My dying dad. Yes, that's it. It was right off the tip of my tongue. Perfect transition. That's a perfect, seamless transition. But no, my dad and I exercised a lot. That became something that we did together to bond. He really wasn't good at talking about how he felt. But I felt with exercise it helped, you know, like... At the end of a long bike or a long run, we'd start to talk to each other and get to know each other a bit. And that became something we did. Every time I went home, it was, what are we going to do? We would like, you know, we would run together. We'd swim. We'd bike. We'd hike. My dad and I hiked across an entire state. The state was Rhode Island. So a little bit less impressive. Okay. Took about 15 minutes there and back. No, Rhode Island's so small, man. I'm from right outside of Rhode Island. I did a show in Providence. Swear to God, this guy came up to me afterwards. He was like, hi, how are you? You don't know me. I'm your cousin. I love it. You gotta love it. Rhode Island's so small. If you want to mail a package, you don't need a last name. You just need an adjective. Okay? It's like, where's this going? That's going to Polly. Big Polly or Crazy Polly?
She shakes her head and steps aside.
Crazy Polly. How's he doing? Not good. Not good. Yeah. But no, that hike actually took about a week. We spaced it out, and each day we were together probably hiking for about 10 hours. And those are some of the best times I had with my dad. I feel so lucky. It was like, I remember even when I was doing them being like, this is special. And to have those moments now, it was like the best. You know, I just got to know my dad, and we walked and connected a lot, and it became something that we did. You know, whenever I wanted to bond, we would... you know, hike a mountain or plan a trip. And, you know, my dad and I were similar, but we were different. My dad was just an extreme optimist. He saw just life very brightly. And I was a bit of a
a pessimist. You know, I had trouble seeing the brightness in life, especially in college. I was going through a dark time. I didn't really feel well. I was struggling to find happiness or feel good. And I remember calling my dad and just saying, like, man, I don't know. I want to get out of here. Like, I want to drop out. And he was like, you stay there. I'll come up and visit you. And he did. And he said, let's go for a run. So we got there and we went for a run.
She runs around the stage in a circle.
And we started running. I went to school in Vermont. My dad said, look around you. The sun's out. It's beautiful. What's there to be worried about? And I remember being mad in that moment and saying, like, man, you don't get it. Like, if you knew what it was like to feel the way I was feeling, if you knew what it was like to have a bad day, you wouldn't be saying that right now. And then 5 years later, we went on a 50-mile bike ride. I went back to New York. And then I got the call that my dad had a terminal brain tumor. I rushed home. I went to the hospital. I sat on my dad's bed, and the doctor said, Jim, we have to do surgery on Monday. You can either stay here over the weekend, or we can send you with meds home, and you can come back. My dad looked out the window, and he said, it's going to be beautiful out. I want to get home and get in the sun. My dad got the worst news you can possibly get. And he still kept that attitude he had 5 years prior. My dad had the surgery and they took the tumor out. He slowed down a little bit, but still every day he'd be the one saying, hey, let's get outside. Let's go for a jog. Let's go for a brisk walk. And then he did radiation. He slowed down a little bit more, but still every day he was like, let's go on a hike. Let's find a new place to hike. And he did chemo and he slowed down even more. But still, he was the one to get us out. Let's go to a beach. Let's find a new place to go. Then one day, the left side of his body stopped working. And he was scared and confused, but he still was the person getting us outside, saying, let's go get in the sun.
She slows her pace.
At a certain point, he had to use a walker. And I just remember him saying, come on, Alyssa. Let's see how many laps we can get around the block. Let's see if I can master this walker. And then one day, my marathoner of a dad wasn't able to use either side of his body, and he had to be put in a wheelchair. And still, every day, the first thing he'd say to me in the morning was, can you wheel me outside? I want to be in the sun. One day, we went up to see a scan, and the doctor said, Jim, I'm sorry, the tumor's growing back aggressively. We've done everything, and there's nothing more we can do. My dad said, thank you. We drove home. And the next morning, my dad woke up. He said, man, it's beautiful out. Especially for October. Kind of feels like a pool day. My dad got told he had no time left. And without being able to use his legs or his arms, asked me, my brother, and my mom to pick him up and put him in the pool. And we went in the pool and we splashed and we sang. And a few days later, I went to pick my dad up in the morning out of bed, and I picked him up. He had a seizure in my arms, and he fell into a coma.
She sits cross-legged, then lies on her back. A spotlight shines on her.
My dad stayed in a coma for 7 days. One. Two. Three. Four. Five. Six. And on the seventh day, as the sun was setting, my dad took his last breath. And I remember thinking, wow, even in a coma, my dad managed to find his way into the sun. I remember he took his last breath, and I rushed outside, and I looked up at the sky, and it was beautiful. There were pinks and yellows and birds, and I thought, that's where my dad lives now. He's free, free from the body that failed him. I really felt my dad with me when he was in a coma, you know? He couldn't speak or hear or move, but I really felt like he was just there. It was so clear. So then when he died, I was like, well, that's it. You know, the same way I felt him in a coma, if I try hard enough, I can feel him all the time. And I can, you know? It's harder without a body, but whenever I need him, he's there. I feel him when I'm back in L.A., where I live. I feel him in the sky. I feel him when I'm in New York. I feel him here.
She sits up.
Wait a minute. I'm so sorry. Do your thing.
She runs downstairs into the audience. She pauses, then points.
Sorry, I hate to intrude, but I can't help but notice an empty seat here. This was a sold-out show, so an empty seat, that's a little weird. Something's up. Do you happen to feel the presence of my past father next to you?
Yes.
That's a yes! That's an affirmative!
She runs up and down an aisle.
He is in the building! All right, awesome, awesome, awesome. Do your thing. Talk amongst yourselves. If you're at home, grab a snack. Go ahead.
Listen to me, I gotta talk to you quickly. This is so tacky, I'm doing this, but I gotta pounce on the opportunity while I got it. Listen to me. Any chance you could chit-chat with him briefly about the will?
No, look, no, I know, of course. No, I know. It's tacky, but look, he went 50-50, me and my brother. Fine, at the moment, fair. But now, here I am, kind of, you know, telling you guys about my dad, right?
Where's he?
I'm not asking for something. I don't want 100. No, I'm not an animal. I'm just thinking, like, I don't know, maybe we just get a 70-30 split. Look, start high, then he'll come. He was in sales. He's going to haggle you. I don't want to tell you how to do your job. You do your thing. But, okay, you do your thing. Yeah. Hi, how we doing? Great jacket. Very cool. Hi, yeah. Okay, very cool. Very cool. You're my aunt. Choice there of like, how are we doing? That's like, well, no, I know everything. Yeah, I know you. You've seen this show 17 times. Good to see you again. True story. I did a show in Boston. I checked into my hotel room. I hear a knock on the door that connects. Like, you know, when there's a door, I open it. My aunt and uncle are like, we requested the room next to you. The glee on their faces. It was the most Greek thing that's ever happened in my life. All right, great.
What'd he say?
He'll do 65.
He'll do 65, Ben. Take that as a win. Thank you.
She walks around.
Hi there. Hi. You guys a couple?
Yeah. Okay. Well. Do you guys ever...
Sometimes. I'll take sometimes.
And when you guys are ever... Have you ever had this feeling where you're like, what the heck? I just felt a cool breeze, and I know I closed all the windows. You closed the window. Where the heck's that coming from? That ever happen to you guys?
All the time.
All the time? Well, I have good news for you. What's your name?
Sam,
I have excellent news for you. If that happens all the time, that means my father is very close to you.
That means my father is. He endorses this relationship. Round of applause for our couple and our negotiator. Thank you. Yes. No, I do feel my dad everywhere with me. But my mom, like, she kind of likes more, like, concrete signs, you know? Which is fine. I get that. That's cool. But she'll just, like, take it a little bit too far, you know? We'll be walking, and she'll just be like, oh, my God. You're never going to believe this. I can't even believe my own eyes. Alyssa, get back here. Alyssa, come back and squat down. I'm serious. Squat down. Squat down with me. And you're going to want to squint because it's a little bit a ways away. But if you squint down about a mile, you see there's a puddle? It's a little dirty. Yeah, look beneath the leaves. Under the leaves, you see that? There's a penny. And guess what? It's heads up. That's your father. It's like, that's my dad right there? No! She's like, oh, what are the odds of this? Look at this. Come here. In the middle of New York City. A feather? Feather in the middle of New York City. I'm like, Mom, that's a dead pigeon. You know? I feel like I could tell my mom anything. I could be like, Mom, bad news. I have bed bugs. And she'd be like, that's your father holding you very close. I would kill for that sign. I would kill for it. Fun fact, I did have bed bugs once. I did. Not the worst thing I've ever slept with. I mean, what? The whole experience made me very spiritual. I grew up really religious. I grew up Greek Orthodox. And, yes, and I went to Catholic school. Greek Orthodox and Catholic school, which I believe officially makes me an archbishop. Like, honestly, if you know the Stations of the Cross in two languages, they just send you the big hat. They send it. The religions are... like pretty similar. You know, they both have the concept of sin, but they approach it differently. You know, Catholicism, a lot of guilt. Greek Orthodoxy, a lot of pride. A little bit too much pride, you know? I feel like someone could literally rob a bank. And in church on Sunday, an old lady would be like, "Did you hear how much money Yorgos make?" "Did you hear? Oh, yes. He robbed the biggest bank. Oh, he robbed a big... not a credit union. No, 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 no. Big bank. Big bank. Everybody's so scared. He makes so much money." They found out that the CEO of Pfizer was Greek. It's the best thing that's ever happened to them. That, I mean, everyone in my family just absolutely flipped out. It became the whole thing. Like, you know, my grandparents don't even go to the doctor. Like, they could have a broken leg and they'd be like, "It's okay, I eat garlic," you know? But they all of a sudden just championed the vaccine because it was Pfizer. They were so excited. Like, are you guys vaccinated? What vaccine did you get?
Subtitles, Moderna.
Oh my God. I cannot believe on the day of the taping, you come to me front row. Front row, you look me in the eyes. Front row, and you say, "Oh, I don't know. I think Moderna." "Why? Pfizer no good enough for you?" "Oh, no. Oh, Pfizer no good. I go with Moderna. You go with Moderna." "Which one you get?"
Woman, J&J.
Oh, my God. When I tell you, she look at me, she go, me. I smile so big, I go, "Oh, my God, she got the Pfizer. She got the Pfizer in the front row." And then she proudly said, "J&J. Oh, my God, J&J. You mean to tell me you proud you got one with two boy who know Greek? You?"
Man, Pfizer. Alyssa runs. She jumps and clicks her heels.
Etsy, bravo. This is so good. You know why this good? This man get Pfizer in the front row, none of us gonna get COVID. COVID gone because he got the big strong one from Pfizer. Very good. Very good. Oh, yes. Yes, anyway, that's what happened. it's too nice. Oh, my God. Yeah, it was really, you know, scary losing one parent. I became just extremely protective of my other parent. I was so scared all the time that something was going to happen to her. You know, I remember, like, I was visiting home once, and I got home, and my mom wasn't wearing her seatbelt. And I was so mad at her. I was like, "Mom, you have to wear your seatbelt, always, always." And she was like, "Alyssa, we're watching a movie." Yeah, it's a horror, okay? I don't want to take any risks. Click it or ticket. I installed them in the sofa. Let's go. I kind of wanted my mom to be treated like the way CVS treats Dove deodorant, you know? Just like, "I want you behind glass, and if anyone wants to touch you, they got to come to me first, okay?" That's what I wanted, yeah. But it was, you know, it was very overwhelming. I was, you know, a kid. I went from being this kid who was so overly dependent on her parents to just taking care of my strong dad as he weakly evaporated in my arms and watching my stoic mom crumble and become terrified and fall into deep grief. I felt like the foundation just dropped from below me and I had nowhere to stand and I was terrified and I immediately started having panic attacks. I didn't know what was happening at first. I kind of thought like a panic attack, like I thought it was kind of in the word. Like, if I was going to have a panic attack, it would just kind of be me going, like, "I'm panicking!" You know? It would just kind of be like Kevin from Home Alone, like...
She presses her hands against her cheeks and opens her mouth.
But that wasn't it. You know, it just, the first time it happened, I all of a sudden felt like I had to maybe throw up, and I got really sweaty. I had to, like, take all my clothes off. I would, like, fall on the bathroom floor, and, like, I felt like I couldn't breathe, and, like, I was really going to die, or my heart was going to give out. And then it would just pass. And the first time this happened, it was the night of my dad's funeral. And I remember, like, being on the ground, and instead of being like, "This is probably part of my active grief," I was like, "See, I told you, I'm pregnant."
What did I tell you?
Yeah, sure, haven't had sex in 13 months. It doesn't matter, it's a miracle, you know? Immaculate conception number 2. Folks, that's the kind of riff you only get if you have my level of religious experience. That's an archbishop riff right there. You understand me? But no, I think maybe like part of me knew that had something to do with my grief. But
I preferred to not look at it, you know, and I would just hope it would go away and that maybe, you know, if I just didn't worry about it, it wouldn't come back. But then basically every few months it would come back. That to me is very representative of how I handled grief, was just, well, maybe if I don't look at it, it's not real. I didn't really want to accept it. Are you guys familiar with the stages of grief? You are? Okay, good. Well, if you're not, no problem. I got you covered. I'm just going to take you through the stages of grief. Here we go.
A screen rolls out.
So here we go, denial. I looked at that list and I was like, oh, that's, I don't have the time for that. Five? Too many. And then I was just like, let me see.
Depression.
Oh my God. Girl. Wait. Wait, I know you. We went to college together. Hi. Oh my God, it's so good to see you. Hello, hello. Good to see you. Yeah, actually, in college, this is kind of a brag, I guess, but I got my master's in depression. Do you guys know? Yeah. I went through the five stages of depression, actually. Do you guys know about the, you know, you're not familiar? Okay, don't worry. I'll fill you in. So these are the five stages of depression. Okay, here we go. Stage one. Yeah.
Get a dramatic haircut.
You're going to want to do that out the gate, okay? Yeah. Bobs, bangs, that's kind of the world we're in here. Bleach, pink, anything that works. Okay, stage two. Once you've done that, you move on to stage two, which is...
Eat fettuccine Alfredo for breakfast.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, it's like, well, that's kind of good. Is it warm? No, honey, it's dead cold. It's dead cold. You're pulling that out. And not only is it dead cold, you got to do the sniff test. Okay, you take that out. You smell it. You're like...
She shrugs.
And then you eat it, okay? Once you've done that, you can move on to stage three. Stage three, okay, this is, you're going to burst into tears when someone asks you some invasive questions, like,
How are you?
No, how dare you? Or,
Would that be a small or large coffee?
How dare you ask me that? No, please, back up. Okay, so stage four, you're going to want to wear the same outfit every day. Yeah, you just pick something that works. What is the outfit? This is the outfit, yeah.
A duvet cover.
There it is. The duvet cover is the outfit. Okay, stage five. And this is the final stage. Carlo Rossi. Some people might not know that. You go, what's Carlo Rossi? Is that a gentleman? It's a gentleman. You two are going to become very close friends. And if you don't know, this is a type of wine that doesn't come in a bottle, folks. It comes in a jug. This is a quantity game. When you're at stage five, you're in the quantity game, okay? If you're like, what's the jug? I'll show you the jug. That's the damn jug. You know the damn jug. You know that none of us are above this jug. None of us, okay? You pop a straw in that at about 4 p.m. Congratulations. You are now a professional depression. Round of applause for you guys. Congratulations. Yes. Yeah, I think I didn't want to go through the stages of grief because that would mean I'd be working towards acceptance, you know, and I didn't want to do that. I saw acceptance as letting go, and I didn't want to let go because if I let go, then I'd be letting go of the last piece of my dad I had, and then he'd really be gone, and then I would have nothing. And I was scared, and I didn't want to do that, and so I clung and I clung and I kept having panic attacks. Eventually, I went to therapy, and that changed my life. Anyone here in therapy? That's great. See, that's a New York show. That's great. I do this show on the road. I'm like, anyone in therapy? And it's just one guy in the back like...
She waves her hand and nods.
Yeah, but I started going to therapy, and that changed my life, man. I owe everything to my therapist. She helped me at first. I remember having a panic attack, and I called her. And I was like, doctor, I'm like, I'm having a panic attack. I don't feel it. And she was like, hey, Alyssa... Just breathe. And I remember being like, wait, but I pay you. So if I pay you, like, I'm going to need your advice to be better than something I would read on a mug at my aunt's house. Okay? I'm like, I don't know. I don't feel too well. She's like, hey, Alyssa, live, laugh, love. Okay? I was like, I don't know. I don't feel good. And she's like, hey, Alyssa, it's 9 o'clock somewhere. She was great. She helped me, you know, like
actually accept what was happening instead of fighting it. I felt like I was holding on to this life that was gone and I wasn't moving forward, so I was just floating in midair, you know, and she helped me ground my feet and say, hey, you got to move forward. You got to start building a life. And she helped me build a new life, and she taught me about, you know, taking care of myself. I think I was a type of person who was always like needing other people's help or feeling like I needed someone to save me or help me. And she helped me realize like that's something you can do within yourself. You know, it's this technique called parenting yourself. Do you guys know this? Parenting yourself, if you don't know, it's basically a technique where you give yourself something that, you know, you wish a parent could give you or that they can't give you, or you treat yourself like you're a kid, you know? I remember the first time she told it to me, I tried it for a week and I learned a lot and I lost custody. I just right away, they were like, no, who signed off on this? No, absolutely not. No, but it was a great technique, and I feel like over time I really did learn to become my own parent, and I'm happy that now I feel I can live without a dad. You know, I can function. I'm an adult, and that's great. Though, of course, sometimes I miss having a dad. Did they tell you guys? Did they tell you? They didn't tell you? Did they tell you guys? What? They didn't. Oh, okay. Because I'm looking for a dad tonight. Oh, you guys didn't know. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I'm looking for a dad. Yeah, it's an open call. It's an open call. So, yeah, basically what I need is just a dad to, you know, come on stage and just answer a few questions. If that's the Pfizer man, would you do it? At Pfizer, would you do it? Would you do it? What's your name?
Jeff.
Jeff, come on up here. Big round of applause for Jeff. Come on up, Jeff. Yes. All right. Wonderful. Oh, yep, sure. Yep, okay, wonderful. Jeff! I'll tell you what, I'm feeling good about the quarter zip. I am feeling good about a quarter zip. That is very good dad material. We're off to a great start. We're off to a great start. Okay, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to ask you some questions. Whether or not you get these right or wrong, legally...
To a man.
You are now my father. Okay? Legally. Yes, so is that works for you.
You're out of college. I don't have to pay for you anymore.
No, believe me, buddy. I'm still a financial drain. Oh. Yeah, okay. Jeff, without further ado, this is Who Wants to Be My Dad? Who wants to be my dad? Dun-dun-dun-ling. Okay, first question. Lo, this is just a softball here for you, Jeff. How do I schedule a dentist appointment? So all of a sudden, we're off to a bad start. That is not, I gotta cut you off. The answer is, you don't do that, I do it for you. Okay? Okay. He understands now. Good. You're getting it. He's getting it. Yeah, now we're warming up. We're getting it. Okay. All right, Jeff. Here we go. You call me. I don't pick up. Nothing urgent to say. What do you do?
I drive over and find out why you're not picking up.
Not bad! Really good. I'll tell you what. That's better than mine. Mine was, alternatively, you would leave a detailed 6-minute voicemail. Detailed, okay? But I think coming over, that we're going to count that as one. We're going to count that as one. Okay, great. Okay. Oh, here we go. I think you're going to get this one, Jeff. My boyfriend thinks we should split chores 50-50. Totally reasonable. Totally reasonable. What do you think about that?
I think he gets 100%.
Answer we were looking for. That's wonderful. Now we're really warming up. Okay.
She shakes her head side to side.
I'm going to sing a little something for you, okay? Ever mind, I'll find someone like you. How'd I do?
You should be on stage.
Ha-ha! Not bad, not bad. Very nice. Very nice, very nice. Unfortunately, Jeff, yeah, the answer we were looking for is... Oh, Adele is shaking in her boots. Okay? Jeff, final question. For all the money in the world, where do you buy your pants?
Oh, whatever shows up in my closet, I wear.
Not bad! Not bad! Not bad! But Jeff, not bad, but the answer we were looking for, and say it with me, folks, is the same place as 20-pound peanut butter and a flat-screen TV.
Costco.
Jeff, thank you so much. Thank you. Be see you at Christmas. I'll see you at Christmas. Oh, yeah. I didn't get a goodbye from my dad, and I really wanted one. I was home for a year. There was time, but like I said, my dad was just, you know, not able to express his emotions that well, and he just didn't want to talk about it. And I couldn't get a goodbye, and I tried. And I tried because I wanted not just a goodbye, but the goodbye. Do you know what I'm talking about? The goodbye from a movie, you know, where the dad's in his room, and he's just like, daughter, daughter, come quick. I fear there's not much time, and I have things I must tell you. One, take care of your mother. Two, the business is yours. And three, buried way deep, there's a box. And in this box, you'll find... And then he dies! And you're like, oh my God! Where's the box? What's in the box? You don't know, but you keep looking for the box. You search for the box. You get a tattoo of the box. Your life has meaning and purpose and guidance. I didn't get that. And I wanted it. And I was so scared to not have it. And I remember a lot of people trying to comfort me after my dad died. And I don't think there's anything wrong you can say when someone dies, because I still don't know what to say. It's a weird thing. It's impossible. But there's one thing that people said that I take some umbrage with, which is time heals all wounds. It's been 6 years since my dad died, six. And I am still wounded. I miss my dad every day. If you're here and you're comfortable sharing, keep your hands up the whole time. Who here is also missing a dad that they've lost? Or a mom? Or a grandparent? Or a child? Or a sibling? Or a partner? Or a friend? Or someone they once loved? Everyone's grieving. Everyone you see walking down the street is grieving, whether it's loss or death or just mourning the passage of time. It's all grief. You know, we're all walking around just wounded by the memory of love and haunted by its absence. You don't heal from that because it becomes a part of you. Time doesn't heal, but time does change things. It's been 6 years. That's a lot of time. I have lived a lot of life since my dad died. I've explored, I've hardened, I've shrunk, I've come alive. I've bent, I have broken, I've wobbled, I've grown, I've changed. I'm a different person than the person I was when my dad died. I'm totally different. I live on a different side of the country. I move at a different pace of life. My community is different. My career is different. My friends are different. The house that I grew up in and watched my dad take his last breath in is gone. Everything about my life is different. You know, there's nothing in my life right now that looks the same way it did when my dad was alive. It's a little scary, you know, to think like, man, I don't even know if he'd recognize this version of me. I'm different. You know, I was a kid when he knew me. And now I'm an adult. The only thing I have left of my dad in my current life is this show. I've been doing this show for 6 years. I started doing it 3 months after my dad died, like a maniac. I remember doing it for the first time and people saying, like, wow, it's so cool of you to be processing your grief like this. I think that's generous, you know? That's nice, but that's generous. I don't think that's what I was doing at all, you know? I think that I was hanging on for dear life to my dad. I think that I was still clinging. I didn't want to let go. I was just hoping that if I kept doing the show, if I kept talking about my dad, that my dad would get to travel with me as my life was changing and as I was moving away from him. And now, tonight, this is the last time I'll ever do this show. And after this, that's it. I can't do it anymore. It's going to
go live on Peacock, and I won't be able to do this material on the road. I won't be able to talk about my dad in this way. It's going to be gone, and I'm going to be forced to do that thing that I was scared to do back in the day, which is be left with nothing of my dad and be in this new reality, which I love, but he's not in. And that scares me, you know, and that makes me sad. But then I remember what brought me here, and it's him. My dad's death woke me up. I was sleeping, and it woke me up. It taught me that all we have here, all we have is a collection of days. And whether it's 10,000 or 100 or 1, every day that we get is a day to live. And I watched my dad.
She licks her lips and bites her lip. She scratches her nose.
I watched my dad live through hell and still find the good in every bad day. I watched him look death in its face and say, game on, maybe tomorrow, today we're going in the pool. I'm different now. I started saying yes. I started going for what I wanted, enjoying days, finding good parts of bad days, calling friends, reaching out, always ordering an extra pastry when I went to the bakery, packing sneakers just in case. His death changed me. I'm more of an optimist now. I see the world a bit more brightly. And I'm proud to say, I now wash my sheets. At least twice a year.
She holds up two fingers.
The life I live from watching my dad live and watching him die. I feel really lucky to have known my dad, to have gotten to be his kid, and I still do feel him with me. I miss him sometimes, you know, when I think of, like, you know, like a lot of my friends are getting married now, and I guess I just still, I know it's archaic, but I still think of, like, the father-daughter dance and sad that I won't be able to have that, you know. It's my last show, and you guys have been on this journey with me, and would it be okay if I did that father-daughter dance here in front of you guys? Would that be okay? Okay. All right. And I'd like to do it to my favorite genre of music. Zumba, hit it!
She sets down her mic and rips off her dress, revealing yellow shorts and a matching tank. Dancers stride out with her. She jumps. They shake their hips side to side. She points to the screen.
There he is! Yes! There he is in his red sweatsuit! That's our family on a hike! There we are, hiking across Rhode Island! Let's go, Courtney! There we are, his kids! My mom and dad! Okay! There he is in the costume that won the costume contest! Here we are, yes, Jovan, go! Well, that was beautiful. Just like I'd always imagined. Dancers, thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming.
The audience rises.
I hope you have a great night and that no matter what happens tomorrow, it's a really good day. Thank you!
She gives two thumbs up and waves. She runs off stage. Footage plays. Alyssa and her dad dance. He smiles. They shake their hips and shuffle their feet. A blonde woman smiles and holds a sign. On it, Jim Limparis. A pink-haired woman holds a sign. Dad. Two women look at signs. The legend, Bill Harper, my dad, Poppy Sal. A woman smiles with a sign, my bro, Steve Caputo, 1967-2021. A man holds a sign, my mom, Barbara Kalama. A man smiles with a sign, Shirley.
My husband, Keith.
I love you forever, mom and dad.
Clips of people with signs flash.
Actually passed away December 4th of last year. And
my brother, best brother ever.
Ever?
Ever.
Alyssa Limperis, No Bad Days. Clips of Alyssa's dad play.
Jim Lepers to the finish line.
Woo! I just love it. I love it.
Audio description written by Olivia Habib. Narrated by Chris Snyder. Described by Audio Eyes. Peacock. 2022 Peacock Media Productions, LLC. All rights reserved.